But so we will be continuing on this week in our series. Last week we talked about who you can date. This week we'll be talking about when you can date. And so I got a little story we slightly mentioned last week. This one can answer both of your questions. This is a story from my days at CIU, actually not before my days at CIU, a story I heard while at CIU, Bible college I went to. And there was this guy, and he went on an adventure to the local lake right down the street. Something happened to him at this lake that was very special and meaningful for his life. The next day, goes to the student center.
Where the mailboxes are.
Where the mailboxes are, which I don't know why you need to know this. But the mailboxes are there, and he sees this girl, and because of what happened the night before, he has to do something. So he walks up to this girl, says to this girl, "Last night I was at Lake Monticello." That's its name.
Monticello.
Lake Monticello. "And while I was there, I had a vision from God. And in that vision, God told me, you're the girl," I should point at Jennifer, "you're the girl I'm supposed to marry." She looks at him in the eyes. She says, "I already knew. I was just waiting for you to find out." Yeah, very sweet. Next semester, she drops out of college to plan their wedding. They went straight from strangers to engaged to married. So that's one way to find out. If you have a vision from God at a lake, you will know you're ready to date, and you will know you found the person you're supposed to date. That's the way. You just wait for that vision at the lake. If you don't have a vision at the lake, then I guess you're out of luck. Anyway, if you don't have a vision, I guess that's what this series is for, so you can get some wisdom. So, we're going to dive straight into this deal. So, when are you ready to date? Some people just kind of throw an age at it. They'll throw numbers, kind of like with drinking in our society. The government says you're responsible enough to drink when you're 21. And obviously that's not the case, because we have laws against drinking and driving. So there are people dumb enough and irresponsible enough that even though they're 21, they don't have the responsibility to actually consume alcohol safely, because they'll jump in a car, drive around drunk, and crash into things. It's always fun if you've ever ridden a car with a drunk driver, because they hit a lot of curbs, which I have been in a car with a drunk driver before, and that was not fun. My dad driving the whole family home from the bar. That is not exciting. Anyway, so I mean, some of it's kind of funny, but like my dad, as I've told you before, drank himself to death. As an adult, 54-year-old man died from drinking alcohol. Even though he was well over 21, he wasn't responsible enough. So if with drinking alcohol, being just a specific age doesn't work, that's the same thing for dating. It's not like you can say you're 16, well, you're ready to go, and just go out there and jump on the horse and take a ride, get lots of girlfriends. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And so I know your parents might have rules that say when you're a certain age you can date. They might say certain things, but just because you're able to do something doesn't mean it's wise. So, I mean, like, my parents never had like a rule, "Sean, you are not allowed to drill holes in yourself. You cannot grab a drill and drill holes in yourself." They never told me that. That was never a house rule. But just because I had permission to drill holes in myself doesn't mean it was a good idea. It wasn't like Saturday afternoon was hole day and I would drill new holes in my feet. It didn't happen. And so just because something is permitted doesn't mean it's the wise thing to do, the smart thing to do, or something you should be doing. So with dating, just because if your parents say 16 you're ready to go, doesn't mean you're ready to go. So our first point, it's a stage, not an age. It's a stage, not an age. When you reach a certain maturity, that's when you're ready to date. Not just because, well, I'm in high school, or wow, I'm 12, or wow, because I'm born, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to jump on the horse, get a girlfriend, and find me a wife. It just doesn't work that way. It's a level of maturity. Which leads to the next point on when. It's about maturity, not a feeling. It's about maturity, not a feeling. So you hit around 12 years old, maybe earlier for the girls, maybe later for some of the boys. Your body starts producing certain hormones, and all of a sudden, that little girl that you used to pull her hair and hate her, all of a sudden she looks pretty to you, and you're like, "Holy jeepers, I get these feelings inside whenever she's around, and I just want to call her and ask her to the county fair." Or maybe something else more exciting than the county fair. But so, just because you have these feelings inside doesn't mean it's like, oh, it's time to go, it's time to just start dating her. I mean, our bodies can, just because you have hormones pumping through your veins, doesn't mean you're a mature person. There's a lot of people out there with hormones, and they're idiots. Big, big idiots. And in the heat of the moment, you do dumb things. Like on retreats, we always have this list of things you can't take on retreats. And you read the list and you go, drugs? Weapons? Why would they put these on the list? Well, we put them on the list because people your age have taken that stuff on retreats. I could tell you a specific example of a student, the youth group I was a part of, or I can tell you two names of people that brought drugs on retreats or to church. Of all the places to bring your drugs, of all the places to think, I'm going to hang out and I'm just going to get stoned or I'm going to sell some drugs, church is just, it's not the best marketplace. It's not the best environment. You're probably going to get in trouble. I'm just telling you right now in case you didn't know that. Drugs is not a good place for church. But we have to have a rule that says that or else someone does bring drugs. Or in this case, the person brought them despite the rule. But so we get these feelings and our brains don't always work quite right. And so we do stupid things. Lots and lots of stupid things for that matter. So it's not just that you're a certain age. It's not that just because you have a feeling on the inside. It's not just because you like some girl or guy. Hopefully, girls, you're not liking girls. Or guys liking guys. But if you have a feeling for someone, that doesn't mean you're necessarily ready to start dating. So with that, I've got a couple of points. And we have to have one starting assumption. One point we're going to start with, and it's not a fun one. Our first point, your heart is wicked and in need of repair. So everybody knows Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that's not like the nastiest verse in description of man's deceitful heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I mean, the Bible's view of mankind is that we're pretty messed up. And we all know the things we do in secret or not so secret sometimes. We all know when we've disrespected our parents, lied to our parents. Sometimes your parents are wicked. For example, if you had Operation Egg Drop. It was just astounding some of the things parents would do. And some of you saw this, but I mean, we said, go out and get some eggs. It's a kiddie. Kids run out there. And then the parents run out there and grab the kids and throw them on the ground and steal eggs from kids. And then they see a kid with a winning egg and they steal the egg from the kid. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I had a little kid walk up to me crying, tears pouring out of his face. He goes, I had a winning coin with a number on it, a paper number on it, and somebody took it out of my bin. A little crying kid. Someone stole his winning coin. And I couldn't do anything about it. But, I mean, so why would somebody steal a winning coin from a little kid? Their heart is deceitful and wicked. Likewise, why would a whole bunch of parents yell at me for being like the devil and offer me all sorts of advice because I threw a fun event? Heart is deceitful above all things. Just assuming I'm some wicked guy out to kill kids or something like that and get your kids lost. I promise I'm not. That's not my goal, was not to lose kids and get them killed. But anyway, and then we look at our own lives, and we all know the things we've done where we've hurt people. I mean, even the best of people, we have these moments where we just hurt people's feelings. I mean, you can ask don't ask Jennifer, but I'm sure she's got some stories of where I'm just plain mean. I'm just nasty to her and just say mean things. And, I guess I could say, I'm a pastor now. So even as a pastor, I'm a complete jerk some of the times and do mean, mean things. Why? Heart is deceitful above all things. Next part on there, Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So why do we do these things? Well, it seems right in the moment. It seems easier. It seems more fun. But the end result isn't good. So when we combine these two things, our heart is deceitful. The wrong path often seems right. It's easier. It's more fun. You apply those to a dating relationship. Well, you're dating someone. If your heart is deceitful and wicked, you tend to take the easy path, the fun path, the sinful path, as opposed to the righteous path. If you're not at a level of maturity where you can handle those feelings, if you're not at a level of maturity, we can put things in place to stop you from making stupid decisions, you will go down the path that leads to death. I mean, I could name tons and tons. Everyone I know, not everyone I know, that's an exaggeration. Lots of people I know could just list off stories of stupid mistakes they made in dating relationships where they went too far because they didn't put the right things in place and they took the path that leads to death as opposed to the path that leads to life, the righteous path. And so with this, when we talk about this, when you're ready to date, the first point is when you can set objective, specific, and biblical standards. You can set objective, specific, and biblical standards. So the first thing, I mean, if our heart is deceptive and wicked and it's leading us down the wrong path, we need to be in a place where we can say, you know, here's what I need to do to stop that from happening. Here's the things I need to put in place to stop that from happening. And I know enough about my limitations, or I don't know enough, that I'm going to set a line somewhere way far away from where the Lord caused me to sin. And it's not a legalistic thing. It's not I'm going to impose this on other people. But I know where I'm weak, and therefore I'm going to put something in place so that I don't go down that path. So if you're not at a place where you can do that, when you get in a dating relationship, you're just, and naturally, you're going to go too far because those feelings don't get any less powerful when you're sitting next to a girl you like and her arm is touching yours and your hand accidentally touches her leg and you're like, ooh, this kind of feels nice. I mean, your body is designed to work that way. God made you that way. And so, when you're in those relationships, if you don't put things in place, you don't set boundaries, you go down to places you're not supposed to go. And so you're not ready to date until you can set objective, specific, and biblical standards to prevent that from happening. Next one. When you can seek out and follow godly direction of those over you in the Lord. I think that's what I... Yeah, of those over you in the Lord. This is the idea that you need wise people telling you what you can and can't do. People that love you, care about you, want the best for you. So with that, here's what Proverbs says, and there's probably 200 verses in Proverbs that you could use for this one. It's very much encourages you to seek wise counsel. But wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from those whose words are perverse, who leave straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in perverseness of evil. And so the idea there is, if you want to stop from going towards wickedness, following the path of darkness, falling way deep into sin, you need wise people guiding you. You need wise people telling you, you know that what? That's a stupid girl to date. That's going to get you messed up. You know what you're doing right now? That's foolish. Don't do that. You really shouldn't do that. Here's what you should do. And listening to them, they're not necessarily always right. They will say things that maybe you don't agree with, but if they're wiser than you, have more life experience than you, they're married, and they've been married for 30 years successfully, maybe they have something to offer. Generally speaking, if they've been married for 30 years, they're doing something right because that beats the odds, particularly if it's a happy marriage and not one where they're screaming at each other all the time. I mean, you need to listen to those people because they know what they're talking about. And so with that, I mean, the flip side of that is you need to get dating advice from godly people, not dumb people. So when I say that, because you're at school and the people at your school, at work, different places you go, everybody's going to have dating advice for you. Everybody's going to be trying to set you up with people and telling you this is a good person to date, this is a good person to date, maybe go after this person. Here's what you should do. Do this, do this, do this. Lots of people are going to tell you that, but most of their advice is awful. And so if you're talking to a guy that sleeps around, a girl that's had 50 boyfriends, you know, they probably don't have the best advice. For example, when I was in college at ACC, I was taking a Spanish class, and there was a girl that I got along with real well. She had a weird sense of humor with me. She had odd behavior like me, and so just naturally the two of us got along real well. One problem, she was a Jehovah's Witness. So on some levels, we're like right here on the same page. But then at the same time, there's other areas where she's way over here and I'm over here. Well, our Spanish teacher, who was divorced, started giving us all sorts of dating advice like, Sean, you should ask her out. That'd be great if you asked her out and you two were a couple. Which I don't know if professors are supposed to give you that kind of advice. But so she did. And she's giving me advice, and I could have taken it. But we're talking about someone that was divorced. And primarily, it was because she divorced a guy because she married a guy from a different culture, and so they got married, and all of a sudden they had all these clashes as soon as they got married, and they ended up getting divorced. And so this is the person giving me dating advice that didn't even think through, you know, he's from a completely different culture. This is probably going to be difficult, and he speaks a different language than me. And that's why this is like a white girl from the suburbs, And she went to Honduras and married a guy there, learned Spanish so she could speak to him, and that's why she was a Spanish professor. She's giving me dating advice. Not a good idea. Likewise, my dad was divorced 3 times, cheated on my mother at least once, married the woman he had an affair with. That marriage failed. So he probably wasn't the wisest person for me to ever go out to get dating advice about. You know, if he keeps having failed marriages and he keeps cheating on people he's married to, he's probably not a good person to ask for dating advice. In fact, the only dating advice he gave my sister involved kicking guys in the groin. Really, everything he said kind of ended with them getting kicked or kneed or punched or stomped on the groin. Really, that was my dad's dating advice. He didn't give me the same advice, but he didn't really give me any advice ever. But yeah, I guess he probably would have told me, if any guy's ever blowing your ear, you need to kick them in the groin and then stomp on their throat. But that's what he would have said. So those aren't the people you need to go and get dating advice from. It's wise, godly people. I mean, I guess it might have been that same one. Like I said, there was this girl, clearly Jehovah's Witness, many different things about us, completely not the right person to date. And started kind of, you know, getting closer with her. And a couple of my friends confronted me about it. And these were guys that were godly men, loved Jesus, and said, we care about you, and this is not a good girl for you to be dating. Stay away from this girl, because this is not going to be good. And they were right. And those are the people you need to listen to. So when it comes to dating relationships, when you should date, it's when you can turn to people, godly people who are over you in the Lord. Next point on here. You can date when you have committed to God's definitions of your life, love, purity, and commitment. So this is Romans 12. I'm going to skip to verse 2 where it says, do not. So verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve when God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the problem is, where do I get this idea that you can date when you're committed to God's definitions of love, purity, and these sorts of things? Well, the problem is we live in a world that is really perverse and has messed up definitions of everything. So, for example, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a healthy man? Well, we've got a magazine that tells us, Men's Health. So what does it mean to be a man? Well, it looks like you have more sex and hotter sex. So that's one. What else we got here? Well, a man doesn't have a gut. Real man doesn't have a gut. He sculpts his body. He has lots of muscles. Muscles? Okay. That's the way I like my men. Let's see. What else we got here? This side. You want to look good. He's a good-looking man. A rugged-looking man. And he builds wealth and power. So a man has lots of sex, no gut, muscles, a good-looking face, wealth, and power. That does sound like a good man. What about women? So I got my complete woman. I've circled some things. This isn't the first time I've used these magazines, as you can tell. So my complete woman. What is a complete woman? Well, I guess we're saying that this photoshopped picture of Britney Spears is a complete woman. So a real woman looks and acts like Britney Spears. Just like her. Oh, look, she's about sex and love. Ooh, she knows how to get single guys' emails. Good. Let's see, what else we got here? Wears makeup for every sexy mood. Takes a love quiz. So, I mean, you get the idea. If you turn to the world, the patterns of this world, to figure out about masculinity, femininity, love, purity, it's not a good way to go. I mean, what do they talk about love? Well, we define love based off of movies and stuff where it's a fairy tale ending. We think it's all a romance. Lost my train of thought. Well, I think it's like romances where you have the fairy tale ending. You get married happily ever after. You just have to find the one, and it'll be easy, and you've got it all figured out. If you find the one, be perfect. And as it turns out, there aren't a whole lot of guys like that vampire in that Twilight movie. What's his name?
Edward.
Yeah. As it turns out, ladies, there's not a lot of guys out there like that because vampires aren't real. Yeah, yeah. Vampires aren't real. I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah. If you learn one thing tonight, vampires aren't real. I'm very firm about this. Yeah, yeah, it's true. So if you're thinking it's going to be like the book Twilight minus the vampires, and you're going to find this guy that's perfect, it's not going to happen. If you're thinking that it's going to be, well, find my Photoshopped model that looks perfect and all the time and doesn't have gas and doesn't burp and body doesn't function in normal, it's just not going to happen. Girls are people too. They don't always have makeup on. If they don't look like this, because no one can look like this, because she's Photoshopped. I'll actually go through that a couple weeks from now. But I mean, I found an article that talked about how much Photoshopping goes into magazines, and they just went through a series of cover after cover of magazines with the most beautiful women in the entire world, besides Jennifer, on these magazine covers. And just talking about how they were Photoshopped. You see, I could get myself in trouble there. But it just talks about, like, shows a picture of Jennifer Aniston or something like that, and it'll say, look at this part of the picture, and this is clearly Photoshopped, and they removed a wrinkle here, and they did this and this and this, and she doesn't normally look like this. And just, they spent so much money making the most beautiful women in the world look even more perfect. And so just every, guys are looking for girls that can't exist. Girls are trying to be something that's impossible to be because you can't Photoshop yourself. And so it just can't happen. And so that's our world. That's what our world is doing. So until you're at a place where you're no longer looking to the world's definitions of these things, you're no longer looking to movies, magazines, you don't think, man, how do I be a man? I gotta see this. There we go. Man, I gotta do this. Yeah, I can be a man. Or you're not reading these to find out about love. You're not taking the love quiz. I mean, it's one thing if you're messing around, but if you're like legitimately taking the love quiz and, man, does he really like me? Or what's the other one on here? I thought there was another one on here that was real good. But if you're still taking the quiz, how much does he love me? How passionate are we? Probably not time to date, because you're living in fantasy world, in sinful world, not biblical world. And that's where you get in a relationship and you're going to have completely unrealistic expectations of that person, where you're going to hurt them, you're going to end up brokenhearted, and you're going to be bitter, and that's going to be baggage you're going to take into your marriage. And I don't say that joking, that's the reality. If you go into a dating relationship with wrong expectations, you can cause emotional damage to yourself and to other people that will last all the way into your marriage. So I mean, like, the concept of this is the time to prepare for successful marriages before you say I do. And it's very true that what you do now affects the future. And so just a test on that is, first off, how is your relationship with Jesus? I mean, if you're completely off in sin world, shouldn't be dating, because you'll carry that into your relationship and you'll carry sin into it and you'll drag another person down. Second part, are you believing any cultural lies? Are you still looking to the world to define masculinity? Are you still looking for your fairy tale ending? Are you still looking for your Edward the vampire? If you're still looking for your Edward the vampire who's going to be perfect and wants to drink your blood, not time to be dating. Time to get yourself right with Jesus. Next one on here. We talked about this a little bit last week. When your character has grown into a reputation of integrity. So the person you date needs to be a person of character, and so much character has grown into reputation, but likewise for yourself. To grow, have a reputation of integrity, you have to have consistency in your walk with Jesus. And so often we'll kind of have these ups and downs and highs and lows, and we're kind of all over the place. And if you carry that into a relationship, you say, well, for the last month I've been doing real good. Well, then you go into the relationship and you go hit the low point and you're with another person. All of a sudden, like you said, your heart is deceitful, wicked. Well, what does that mean? Well, you'll take this other person to a very sinful place because you're on this spiritual roller coaster and you've hit the low point. What, much worse, what about when you both hit the low point at the same time? Well, it's not a good thing to do. So you need to have shown enough character over time, shown enough consistency in your faith, where you're not going to get in a relationship and just drag this person through the mud with you. So those are some standards we need to look for, just to review. You're ready to date when you can set clear biblical, objective, and specific standards. We've got deceitful hearts that will take us to a bad place. We need to be able to put things in place to stop that. You're ready to date when you can seek godly counsel. You're ready to date when you're no longer looking to the world to define love, masculinity, femininity, purity. You're ready to date when your character has grown into a reputation of integrity. And the final piece on here, we touched on this a little bit in the video last week, and one of the questions in question and answer time, but it's not about finding the one, it's about being the one. You don't want to be out on the prowl all the time thinking, I got to find the perfect one, I got to find the perfect one, I got to look for the perfect one. No, don't do that. You need to focus in on what you can control, and that's yourself. You need to pursue Jesus. You need to pursue being a man or woman of God. You need to make choices that will prepare you for a successful marriage. And you don't need to be out looking around, seeking around, trying to find the perfect one. It's about being the one. Because nobody says, someday, you know, I really want to get married, treat my spouse awful, and have some kids who I'll treat pretty badly, and I'll mess them up real bad so they'll have issues and I'll have problems, and they're just going to be really messed up. Nobody says that. But so many people don't focus in when they're young on being the one. They focus in on looking for someone that'll make them happy. Well, I just need to find someone that'll make me happy, someone that'll complete me. And they find someone, and they put these unrealistic expectations on them. They're a mess themselves, and it just leads to a really bad place. And the final piece on here is wait for the person God puts in front of you. And with that, if you look and you find it, you get to a place where you're ready to start dating, place where you're in love with Jesus, walking right, consistently with Jesus, you think you're ready to start dating, and God puts someone in front of you, don't keep looking elsewhere. If you find a godly woman, a godly man, it seems like God's probably set that up. And it was like in the video I showed last week where the guy talked about how this girl asked, well, I found this guy, but I'm not sure if it's he's the one. He's a great guy, but I don't know if he's the one. Well, if you found a great godly guy, assuming you're a girl, not one of you guys, but if you're a girl and you find a great guy that loves Jesus and you're at a place where you're ready to get married, you know, or you're ready to date, that's a good place to be, and stick with it. You don't have to keep looking. So look for who God puts in front of you. And that's kind of what happened with Jennifer and I. Both of us kind of were at a place where we weren't on the prowl, but we're saying, hey, I guess, you know, we're ready. I'm ready to find a wife, but I'm not out on the, you know, seeking anything. I'm not desperate, but hey, you know, I'm at a point where I'm ready to settle down. Go to a mutual friend's 4th of July party. I see a girl standing in the kitchen, walk up to her, use a great pickup line. Do you know of any good churches in Columbia, South Carolina? That was my pickup line, and it worked. We got married, so I ask her about churches. She gives me her phone number and offers to cook me dinner. Next thing I know, we're dating and we're married. So, and I actually still got the piece of paper in my wallet. I keep it. Don't awe too much. I have another girl's phone number on the other side of the paper. The other girl's name is actually Jennifer as well. So, yeah.
But I was the winner.
Yeah. One girl got a phone call, one girl did not. But anyway, so I wasn't actually asking for the other girl's phone number. It was more of like I was just being friendly, and the other girl. Exactly. One was offering to cook me food, so it worked out better. Ran into this girl I hadn't seen in many years, and was like, "Hey, it's good to see you." And she goes, "Well, let's not wait so long. Here's my phone number." So I was like, whoa, easy there, and of course never called her back. But yeah, Jennifer also got my phone number, and she tricked this kid she was babysitting into calling me at 6 in the morning.
It was not 6 in the morning.
It was 6 in the morning to me. But so, focus on being the one, and wait for God to put the right person in front of you. Let's pray. We'll show you another video, and then we'll have some Q&A with Jennifer and I. Dear Lord, as we talk about when it's time to start dating, help them to really take heart at the wisdom that's been shared here, and see that getting in a relationship too early or when you're in the wrong place spiritually leads to bad places where we make foolish and stupid decisions. God, help me to speak or answer their questions correctly and help them to hear the answers. And God, let all this be for your glory. Amen.